was the band Texas with their song Tell That Girl. Before that, the Yum Yums were Those About to Pop. And we started that set off with the Devil Dogs and the Blind Raven. Support comes from Sidecar Bakery in North Oakland. Whether you're looking for a casual place to study or a great place to meet friends, we are here for you. Always serving scratch-made pastries, a full coffee bar, and six-packs to go in a cozy cafe setting. Open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Sunday. If you're interested in underwriting for WRCT, you can email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities. All right, let's... You know what? Let's go back to the 80s for a little while, at least. Next up, we're going to play Simple Minds, Alive and Kicking.
Thank you. There is such a thing.
Rockets with Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven. I realized that was actually a mix of 80s and 90s. I wasn't thinking that when I played some of those songs. Because before that was Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark with So in Love, Crowded House with Weather with You, and we started that set off with definitely something from the 80s, Simple Minds and Alive and Kicking. Hey, there's one other show you should be listening to here in WRCT. Do you remember that kid you picked on in high school? Well, we gave him a radio show. Tune in and hear the Moxster spin the best and worst in indie, punk, classic country, power pop, and so much more. That's Viva La Mox, Friday nights starting at 9, exclusively here on 88.3 FM, WRCT Pittsburgh. Okay, next up, we are going to play a song from Brinsley Schwartz. And you may know this song from Elvis Costello, but Brinsley was the one who did it first. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding?
Is there only pain? Sweet harmony, God is
From Sloan, a song called Dream Destroyer. They have a new album that just came out this week. Before that, we had Graham Parker and The Rumor with Local Girls, and Brinsley Schwartz started that set off with the original version of What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding. Well, that is going to about do it for me. This is DJ Chris Wired. I want to thank you for listening to Breakfast for Dinner. You may be saying to yourself, well, hey, wait a minute, Mr. DJ, you still have 10 minutes to go on the show. Are you ending a little early? Well, no. We're going to play a little mini rock opera from none other than Weird Al Yankovic. This is actually one of his originals, which I have to admit, I kind of dig a lot of his originals, maybe even more than some of his parodies that he's obviously most famous for. Anyway, this is one of his originals, and it is pretty long, almost 10 minutes. But I really dig it, and I hope you do too. It's a song called Jackson Park Express. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you come back next week for another edition of the show. Thanks for listening.
Tuesday morning, 8:15, I was riding to work on the Jackson Park Express. Seemed like any other day, then my whole world changed in a way I never could have guessed. 'Cause she walked in, seat right across the aisle. I knew we had a special connection the second I saw her smile. She smiled as if to say, hello, haven't seen you on this bus before. I gave her a look that said, life is funny, you never know what's in store. By the way, your hair is beautiful, I bet it smells like raisins. She looked at me in a way that asked, did you have a nose job or something? I'm only asking, 'cause your nose looks slightly better than the
slightly, which was my way. To me. Unmistakably meant, baby, let's wear each other's clothes and speak in a thick German accent. And maybe someday we can own and operate our own mobile pet grooming service. I couldn't hold back my feelings. I gave her a look that said, together. She picked up a newspaper and started reading to herself, which I'm sure was a way of telling me, when you're cold, I will warm you. When you're shivering, I will hold you. When you're nauseous, I will give you Pepto-Bismol every hour for as long as the symptoms persist. Cry. So please let me cauterize your tear ducts with an arc welder. Then I glance down at her shirt for a second, in a way that clearly implied, I like your boobs. And then I looked away, and I'm sure it was obvious to her just what I was trying to say. I was trying to say, hey, I'd like to make a wall-sized mirror out of all the dead skin cells that you slough off while you sleep at night. Oh, I'd like to rip you wide open and French kiss your skin over my own skin, but not in a creepy way. Then I'm pretty sure she looked at me out of the corner of her good eye, and though she never spoke a word, this is exactly what I heard. She was saying, oh, I wanna make out with you in an abandoned toll booth. us out. I want you inside me. Oh, oh, like a tapeworm. I pointed to the side of my mouth as a way of indicating, hey, I think you got something on the side of your mouth. She licked the corner of her lips as if to say, and then the ball stopped at 53rd Street and she got up suddenly. Where are you going? Pleaded my eyes, baby, don't you do this to me. Think of the beautiful children we could have someday. We could school them at home, bring them up the right way, and protect them from the evils of the world, like trigger. Her way of saying, I'm sorry, this just isn't working out. You're suffocating me. I need some space to find out what life's all about. So goodbye forever, my love. And deep inside I knew she was right. It was time for us both to move on.
This is WRCT Pittsburgh.
know, I came here to speak about the rights of nature. The rights of the river were recognized in Aotearoa, the Klamath River. The rights of mountains have been recognized in the Ecuadorian constitutional law. And a few years ago, corporations tried to get into some of that territory. The Ecuadorian Supreme Court ruled the rights of nature superseded the rights of corporations.
That's Winona LaDuke, and this is Alternative Radio. I'm David Barsamyan. This edition of AR features Winona LaDuke on rights of nature, an indigenous view. Indigenous peoples often see themselves as an integral part of nature, not separate from it, and recognize the interconnectedness of all living beings and nature. Indigenous perspectives on the rights of nature emphasize a deep spiritual bond with the natural world, viewing it as a sacred entity and an essential part of their cultural and social fabric. Many indigenous cultures believe that nature has inherent rights and that humans have responsibilities to respect, protect, and maintain the health of the environment for the well-being of future generations. Indigenous communities are increasingly in the forefront of the rights of nature movement, working to incorporate their values and beliefs into legal frameworks and policies. Our guest today is Winona LaDuke, an elder Anishinaabe. She's a brilliant and articulate representative of indigenous perspectives. At the age of 17, she spoke at the United Nations on behalf of Native Americans. She's a founding member of Women of All Red Nations, and for many years she was the director of the Land Recovery Project on the White Earth Reservation in Minnesota. She was the 1996 and 2000 vice presidential candidate of the Green Party. She's the author of many books, including To Be a Water Protector. She spoke at the University of Oregon in Eugene in March 2025. And now, Winona LaDuke.
Anin Nindoy Maganadok Kaloma relatives, so nice to see you all out there. So again, thank you so much for inviting me here. It's heartwarming to see all of you and to think about that these are the times that we must really work together. And this is an opportunity to do that. And so I'm honored to be here to join with you in that. As I said, Anin in Dinawe Muganatuk, that means hello, my relatives. In Dunjaba Oma Aking, that means I come from this land. But Aking means the land to which, the very land to which the people belong. It's not like private property. Aking, Aking, it means the land to which the people belong. That's kind of a different way of thinking, huh? And then there's Inda King Amin, that means the very land to which I belong. And I think that that is what we must all take into our hearts, that we belong to this land. We belong to these rivers. We belong to this place. And in that, there is this reciprocal relationship where we take care and we give love. And she takes care of us. So that is always what we must reaffirm, because we live in a world that does not reaffirm that relationship. And so it is upon us individually and collectively to reaffirm. So as I was speaking, thinking to speak tonight, I wanted to put my friend Ingrid Washington-Watak up. This is the 25th anniversary of her assassination. She was assassinated in Colombia by the FARC 25 years ago, an indigenous leader from Menominee. And she was a good sister of mine. She was a co-chair of the Indigenous Women's Network for about a decade and did really amazing international work. She was courageous and bold and funny and just one of the most beautiful people that you would ever know. And I think about, you know, as I get older, because I have really more winters behind me than ahead of me. You know, I'm 65 years of age. And as I note that, and as I see my sister goes, or maybe another sister goes, and then I see some of my brothers come home. Did you see that Leonard Peltier came home? Right. My whole life. I just take a moment and say that was a great thing. You know, Joe, you were kind of a chump sometimes, but that was a good one, huh? Man, I didn't know that was going to happen in my life. You know, in my life and in all of our lives, we carry like a basket. That's how I think of it, a basket of our cool things that we cherish. You know, it's not our will. It's our cool work. It's our spirit, the things that we cherish, the things that we value. And I think about when someone passes, there is this basket. And the things that are in the basket should be distributed so we all carry on. You understand what I'm saying? And so I've been thinking about this a lot, you know, not only as I get older, but also as I think about what it is that we do to keep intergenerational or just to keep our knowledge, our teachings, our visions to continue. And that is what is this basket. You know, I'm from northern Minnesota, is where I live now, not at home with my mother in Ashland, although very nice Ashland, very nice Oregon. But there is snow at home. There's no daffodils, right? There's no rhododendrons getting ready to pop. It is snow. And in that, though, each spring we know that it is a new beginning that can come. And that is part of what is the gift of our Mother Earth and the creation, is that you know that it's a cyclical life. And you have a new opportunity each spring to do something beautiful. That it is a time of rebirth. And coming out of the quiet times of now, or the times when we prepare, just remember that a new time is coming, and it is our opportunity, because we are the ones who are here to make this new time that is ahead of us. Gawawiegamug, I live on the White Earth Reservation in northern Minnesota. I spend most of my time there, and then I wander some, although I have not wandered as much over the past years, as many of you, you've also stayed home. That's why I was like, I've not been to Eugene in a very long time. And I'm a wild rice harvester. I'm a farmer. And I live in a place, I live where the wild things are. Because that is true. On a worldwide scale, 75% of the world's biodiversity is in indigenous territories, right? 4% of the world's population, 75% of the biodiversity. A lot of the agrobiodiversity, too. And so, you know, as we look at the time ahead, we must take care of where the wild things are. Because that is where there is life. That is where there is spirit. That is where our relationship is always reaffirmed. And so I spend a lot of time fighting for the places where the wild things are. You know, as we all must. But it also fills our souls and our hearts when we see those beautiful things. You know, those beautiful parts of creation. Let us talk about making America great again. And this is my idea of when America was great. America was great when there were 50 million buffalo. That's when America was great, when there were 50 million buffalo. Single largest migratory herd in the world, living on 250 different species of grass, and the largest biome in North America, the Northern Plains, or the Plains, right? That's when America was great. There are still 800 varieties of potatoes, not bad. Now, why would you eat those Idaho spuds when you could eat something that looks that cool, right? These are pictures for the Potato Museum in Peru, right? And America was great when there were 10,000 varieties of corn. That's when America was great, when you could drink the water from every stream and river, and life was all around us. That's when America was great. So don't forget that greatness. You know, Americans have a lot of, I think it's historical amnesia, but also we have ecological amnesia, where we forget what was there, where we forget what is there. And part of what our opportunity is to remember what was there. And sometimes we can bring that back. You know, I've seen it in my lifetime. I've seen the sturgeon come back in my rivers in northern Minnesota, and I have seen dams go down, right? I can see how we can bring back the greatness of America. And I know that you know that we are all in the same canoe, the same Jimon. You know, I was an undergraduate at Harvard, and as an undergraduate at Harvard, when you wanted to go to see the art of Europe, you went to the fine arts department.